Money, Riches, and Wealth is sponsored by the Financial Consulate. Say you don't need no diamond rings, and I'll be satisfied. Tell me that you want the kind of things the money just can't buy. I don't care too much for money. Money can buy me love. This is Talk Radio 680 WCBM. Time now for Money, Riches, and Wealth. Here's your host, Drew Tignanelli.
And this is Drew Tignanelli here, Money, Riches, and Wealth. Wednesday, the night before Thanksgiving. No co-host tonight, but I have an incredible guest with us tonight. And as you know, we do a special show on the night before Thanksgiving. We're always talking about charity and the purposes to be charitable and why we believe that it is an incredible principle of financial planning, that being generous is an important principle. And it seems counterintuitive, you would actually say, that if you give away money, that it would actually benefit you to some degree. But there is an amazing benefit to being generous. And I think our guest tonight will be able to help explain that, as well as I will try to also explain that. But our guest tonight is Russell Snyder. He is the CEO and president of Volunteers of America Chesapeake. And Russell has an amazing career, and he left the world of financial gain to run a not-for-profit charitable organization. And hearing his life story will help to explain this concept of being generous and why we always, on the night before Thanksgiving, want to discuss this principle that is foundational, in my opinion, in financial advisor. And it's not that you get richer by being generous. It's that some people will get amazingly richer when they're more generous, but some people will just find complete contentment. And either one, whether you get more money and you find contentment in that, or if you have the same amount of money and you get contentment in that, it's the same ultimate goal, is contentment with what we have. So anyway, without further ado, let me introduce Russell. Russell, are you here with us tonight?
I am, Drew, and happy Thanksgiving a day early, and appreciate the opportunity to be on your show tonight. So thank you.
Well, it's great to have you, and I know that you've had an illustrious career, and many years ago you were a very successful developer yourself in real estate, and you actually know this area that I live in, Amelia Island. So tell us a little bit about that.
Yeah, so I was really in the association management business, and started out in commercial real estate early in my career. And, you know, as things go, I really got to a point in my career that I wanted to give back and to serve others. I felt that in my heart, and I was being led that way. And I ended up saying to my wife, recall this very vividly, back in 2008, I said, Karen, I really, really would like to go into the nonprofit world. She says, well, good for you. That's fantastic. So I ended up resigning from my job, selling my my partnership in the company I was running and owning at that time. And I just applied for a job with Volunteers America. And what attracted me to it, Drew, is the fact that it was a Christian-based organization with a ministry of serving our nation's most vulnerable. And I just fell really in love with the organization's mission and of transforming lives through services, housing, and ministry. And I'm like, you know, I think I could do this. And so I applied for the job, and I tell you more about my background and how I got there in the first place. But I applied for the job, and, you know, here I am now going on 14 years. So it's been a joy and a wonderful experience. And, you know, so not working anymore, it's really my passion and my love, and or one of my loves, and it's just a joy to do it.
And you've been quite successful with Volunteers of America, over doubling their revenue since 2008. And for a charitable organization to do that, that's an amazing feat. For-profit company, that's almost inevitable. For a charitable corporation to do that, that's very difficult. So I admire what you've done since you've been with Volunteers of America.
Well, thank you. Got a lot of support. That wonderful folks who do great work, and we have 830 employees, and I'm just, I guess, the guy that steers the ship, and the rest of them are really doing the hard work and serving others and being the hands and the feet and the heart on the ground.
So let me ask you a question. Do you believe what I was saying earlier, that there's a certain flow to personal finances, that the more generous you become, the more, not necessarily that you will get richer, but it's contentment with what we have that happens when you become generous? And it's irrelevant whether you have $1 billion or $100,000, that sense of contentment is what man is after.
Yeah, I mean, it comes in a lot of different forms. I mean, giving of your time as a volunteer and, you know, being part of a mission-based organization like Volunteers America, who just, serves such a diverse population that's struggling. And, I remember back in the day, my father, who was in the world of trade association management, took care of a guy named Jerry. And Jerry was a man with intellectual disabilities. And I remember vividly as a child, my dad's servant heart. And he gave back tremendously to several different organizations, during his lifetime, and sort of left that legacy to me. He's no longer with us on this earth, but he really taught me to be selfless and to really give what I can, both financially as well as my time, to other organizations. And, telling you, Drew, my wife, Karen, she's, the love of my life, but she always asks me, well, you're serving on another nonprofit. Yep. I'm doing that because that is my heart. My heart is really to give. And I think, being joyful and giving to organizations like Volunteers America, monetarily as well as the time, is really important. And we pass it on to our kids. And my wife is very actively involved in groups. So I think it's very important that, when establishing your wealth plan going forward, that it is important to think about, other organizations supporting those that are less fortunate.
So we only got about a minute left before we do our first pause, but tell everybody just quickly about Volunteers of America, how they started and so forth, and then we'll get into more of that after we come back from our first break.
Yeah, as I said earlier, Volunteers of America is a Christian-based nonprofit. It was formed in 1896, so we're in our 125th year, and it was formed by social reformers Maud and Ballington Booth. And the reason I mention that to you, William Booth was the founder of Salvation Army, and Ballington was his son. So they were sent over to the United States to actually form posts throughout the United States for Salvation Army in 1896. They decided that the ways and the mothership in England of William Booth and the Salvation Army was just not working out too well for them. So they formed Volunteers America. And honestly, it was an organization formed in 1896 in urban areas and was the mainstay in urban ministry to really help the disenfranchised. They coined volunteers as someone who's serving in God's army to help those in need. So that's where it came. And here we are today. 125 years later, now a $1.4 billion organization with 31 affiliates nationwide. And I'm fortunate to run Maryland, Virginia, D.C., and North and South Carolina.
So you hold on with me right there, and we're going to have to take our first pause, and we're going to be right back with Money, Rich, and Wealth and talk more about charitable giving during this Thanksgiving season. But right now, we got to go to traffic. We'll be right back. Money, Riches, and Wealth.
Hi, this is Drew Tignanelli of the Financial Consulate, saying a financial advisor must have a tax planning passion. I'm appealing only to those with a net worth of more than $5 million or with taxable income of over $400,000. You are the target for higher and higher taxes. If you're in this elite club, you can no longer afford to have a financial advisor that is not passionate to minimize taxes. I'm appealing to you with income over $400,000 or a net worth greater than $5 million because you are the target and need the Financial Consulate's passion to minimize income taxes and estate taxes. Call to set up your introductory meeting, 410-823-7283 or 410-823-SAVE, or online, financialconsulate.com. If your taxable income is $400,000 or more, or your net worth is over $5 million, you are the target. So call to begin your tax plan, 410-823-7283, or online, financialconsulate.com.
Now back to more of Money, Riches, and Wealth on Talk Radio 680 WCBL.
We're back, Money, Riches, and Wealth. Drew Tignanelli here with Russell Snyder, the president and CEO of Volunteers of America Chesapeake, and we're talking about charitable giving during a time like Thanksgiving. And Russell, give me a little grace here for a second. Let me just talk about something that's on my mind, and that is a friend of mine once said that for every one negative thing you do, you wipe out 10 positives. And I think he was just saying, for every one negative you do, you could wipe out 10, you could wipe out 100, you could wipe out 1,000 positives you do. And you've said many times, Russell, since we started this show, that you're a Christian organization. But unfortunately, that term can come with a very big negative. That despite the amazing amount of positives that Judeo-Christian things have done in the world, the few negatives that people take and amplify against Christianity and Judaism has wiped away the millions and millions of positive things that they've done, especially a group like yours. And yours has done amazing work for 125 years.
Yeah, we, you know, I really believe it comes down to love that's in your heart, and whether you're, whatever religion you are, you know, Christian, Jewish, Hindu, Muslim, whatever it may be, but, you know, we all serve God, and God is, you know, what brings love and forgiveness in our hearts and gives us the ability to help others that are in need. And, you know, as a world, I firmly believe in my lifetime that I've been chosen to actually help and be with other people to make sure that they have a better life. And, you know, if we all thought the same way in many regards and took the wealth that we have achieved and help, you know, move that direction to make sure everybody's that is around us that we feel that is part of God's love, we will make sure that we take care of them. And that's what Volunteers of America is all about, and that's our mission. And many of my colleagues, the 830 that we have within our organization across the United States, the 14,000, we all think the same way.
So one of the amazing things on your website you talk about is you are a church without walls.
Correct.
A church without walls. What the heck is a church without walls, Russell? Come on.
Yeah, Drew. I mean, it's just so you think about going to church every Sunday or you know, every Saturday or whatever your religion is, whenever you worship, at whatever day that may be. But we're a church without walls. We have clinicians and social workers, and we don't have walls around us. We are serving God throughout our entire region, from down in North Carolina and South Carolina, all the way to up here in Maryland. And you know, it's that ministry of service that we really talk about. That you may be a clinician and your ministry is being a clinician. You may be an administrator and you're bringing your spiritual gifts to help others and to help others with a holistic level of care, whether that's human service, primary care, or healthcare, or whether that's some housing, or it's whether it's some working with somebody, you know, through their spiritual growth. So that's what we do as volunteers. That's why we're so unique. I always say that we're unique as Volunteers America. And when I started in 2009, that was what I recognized, that being a church, a Christian church without walls, really allowed us and gave us the authority and empowered us to go beyond a church walls and go out in the community and support people and bring them to some sort of stability.
So you mean what Jesus said to you, that sacrifice is not what I want? I don't want you to know that every Sunday morning you're just going to go to church because that's what you got to do, you know, or, you know, you did this because you feel like you have to do it, etc. You're actually doing it because you wanted to extend mercy and grace and kindness and love to people, which is what Jesus said. But most of us want to pretend religion is, you know, doing the things that you have to do. You have to go to church, you have to give money, you got to do this, you got to do that. And you're saying, no, church is without walls.
Yeah, we practice a what we call a ministry of presence. And what that means simply is that if someone calls you, whatever time of night it is, whoever it may be, it could be a family member, friend, colleague, it could be somebody we don't even know, it could be somebody we serve, your ministry of presence is being there for them.
Right.
And that's so important with our values, to make sure that It might be a listening ear. It might be just to sit there and listen for a few minutes. But that's what we do really well in our nonprofit and serving others. We listen to what they need.
You keep doing the things that Jesus told you to do. You know, when your friend comes knocking on the door and says, I got guests and I need bread, you're saying, yeah. No, I got to get up and give them bread. I mean, come on, Russell. What the heck are you thinking about?
Yeah, that's right. That's right.
So who is, you know, here's another great question. The Pharisees asked Jesus, who is your neighbor, Russell? Who is your neighbor?
Yeah, they're all, everybody's our neighbor. I mean, we're a very inclusive organization. We serve everyone, and we make sure that whether you're homeless or whether you're somebody that has a substance use issue, it doesn't matter who you are. It matters what we do for you to help you. And that invitation to gather services, whatever that may be, it's up to you to select on what you want. We're going to make sure, whether you're a family or whether you're an individual, that we're going to support you and we're going to be there for you.
Now, you said earlier that the organization was started by the founder of the Salvation Army and his son. Does Volunteers of America still partner with Salvation Army in certain things?
We hope to, and we do in certain parts of the country. We're actually in 46 states and 400 different communities. And part of our mission is really is to build out, put out an olive branch and say, you know, we want to partner with you. So we've had some success in working with with the former organization. We're kind of the outsider of the, I didn't want to say stepchild, but the outsider of the Salvation Army. But we do very much the same things the Salvation Army does. And we do it with them in collaboration or on our own.
You know, in 1999 through 2002, I think it was, I was on the board of directors of the Gospel Rescue Mission of Washington, D.C. I'm sure you're familiar with them.
Yes, I am.
Yeah. And here's the interesting thing, and I was talking to somebody about this today, that when I was on the board of directors in the Gospel Rescue Mission, I have clients that have tens of millions of dollars. And these people that I was working with in the Gospel Rescue Mission, many of them had less than zero. I mean, if they had zero, they were probably lucky to have zero.
Yeah.
But some of these people were some of the most joyous people. I remember the one guy, Jimmy. And Jimmy, you know, every time I saw him, he radiated a smile that just melted your heart. And you just wanted to just go up and hug him and just say, Jimmy, it's good to see you. I'm just so glad to see you. But yet I would work with people who were worth millions and millions of dollars. And, you just had to struggle through the meeting because they had so many problems, so many issues and so forth. I'm sure you've experienced the same thing.
Yeah, I had a guy today. I was at one of our properties in Howard County, Maryland, and I was, walking around and talking to some of the residents. It's for very low-income, formerly chronically homeless men and women out in the woods, out in their shanty towns or in the back of the car, and they essentially came to live in these 35 apartments. Well, anyway, one of the men that was there, I was talking to him, who's a resident. He was homeless, and now he's got his apartment. I asked him what he was doing for Thanksgiving, and he said, hey, you're invited. We feed people that need other things. And this is a guy who has nothing. He says, we have about 50 people, and we're gonna spend time cooking 8 turkeys. We're gonna fry the turkeys, and we're gonna feed 50 people, and you're invited. And that's the gift of God right there.
Yeah, that is. So Russell, I got to take my next pause. When I have a great guest, things fly really quickly. So, you know, we got to take another pause with traffic, and we're going to be right back. We're going to talk more about what Volunteer of America does. We've kind of laid the foundation of that now, and now I want to get into some of the work that you're actually doing and how people can participate. But for right now, I got to go to traffic. I'll be right back. Money, riches, and wealth.
Now back to more of Money, Riches, and Wealth on Talk Radio 680 WCBM.
All right, we're back. Money, Riches, and Wealth. We're here on a show talking about charitable giving. It's customary on Money, Riches, and Wealth to talk about charitable giving during Thanksgiving and why it's important during this holiday season and every holiday season. We're here with Russell Snyder. He's the CEO, president of Volunteers of America Chesapeake. And Russell, why don't you tell everybody, and we'll do it a couple more times before the end of the show, how to get in touch with Volunteers of America and see how they can, you know, the work you do and how they can participate in contributing or volunteering, whatever, your time or your treasures, either one.
Yeah, there are a couple different ways. Thanks, Drew. And one is just to, you know, reach out. The best way to kind of learn about what we're doing is through our website, which is www.voachesapeake.org. And, you know, on there, it's a pretty detailed overview of our program. So there's, you know, eight areas of service that we provide for the homeless, for the intellectually disabled, adults, you know, providing a support for behavioral health, substance use recovery, supportive housing. We actually help and work with folks in affordable housing and make sure that they're successful there. Community reentry, those that are coming back from prison, and veteran services and youth workforce development. And all these various areas of the 11,000 or so people we serve every year, you know, there's opportunities for volunteering at our locations and our homes. There's yard beautification projects, winter coat drives. There's an Operation Backpack, which I can talk a little bit more about. If you're a financial advisor, which many of the listeners that you have are, you know, on the phone, what a wonderful gift to give, you know, a group of formerly homeless folks and help them understand through financial literacy classes, you know, what it is to have a budget, to balance a checkbook, to, you know, kind of think next what they're due after they get through their getting back on their feet. Workforce opportunities. We have so many different of our folks who just don't have an opportunity to work anyplace. You know, it might be due to a bad record, prison record, or it might be just that they've had several jobs or they have poor credit ratings and or they just don't, you know, have the skill sets. But workforce opportunities, we have so many people we help support and get them employed. And then, you know, donations, clothing. It's you'd imagine in the winter months that socks and coats are so important for the homeless to get. And then there's a website. It's called voacareeasy.org / home or call. And what that is that you can donate your car. Many of our homeless individuals or those that are returning citizens just have no way of getting a vehicle. And so they have to take public transportation, which is spotty at times. And this website allows you to donate your vehicle and get a tax write-off. And it's a way to donate and give back. And those cars are then either sold or they're given to the various people that we support. So those are some of the ways, Drew, that you can get in touch with us. You know, I'm open to anybody that needs to contact me. They're more than welcome to give me a call. So those are some ways to get in touch and learning more about us. And come visit us. I'd love to show you the incredible work that's being done out in the field, whether it's somebody in our affordable housing communities or whether it's in our reentry centers or in our group homes. It's just remarkable to see the work being done.
Yeah, you know, there is something to be said for that, Russell, that when you contribute to an organization and you actually feel the impact of what you're doing,
yeah,
it just inspires you all the more. Like, when, as I said, I was on the director of a gospel rescue mission, and just before I was ready to leave the directorship, I needed a new car. And I decided I'm going to take this car that I have, and I'm going to give it to one of the guys in the mission who I felt had good upside potential. He just needed some new opportunity and so forth. And I gave him this vehicle. And I mean, he was just dumbfounded that I would give him this vehicle. And, but that vehicle led him to, you know, go on and get a job in a not-for-profit organization. And he is now he's either the executive director or he's the second in charge of this organization after 25 years when I gave him that car. But that car helped him get that initiative, and it's just a great feeling to know that you had that impact with that situation.
That's exactly right. Yeah, I had an old college friend who was struggling, and helped him with finding a vehicle, and that helped him get a job and get things rolling along. So it's really about that. I think you highlighted a very important fact, and that's.
Let me tell you a statistic. This is interesting statistic. According to the statistics, more people will default on their home mortgage before they'll ever default on their auto loan.
Yeah.
Now think about that. And you know what? When you really think about it, Russell, it is perfectly logical. A car can give you some form of freedom, and a house kind of struggle, you know, is like an albatross to you to some degree. You know, if you're at that level of your financial needs, you know?
That's totally accurate. Absolutely. Yeah. It's the proof of that statement is totally right on in the world that I work in.
And I tend to do that. I tend to, you know, drive my cars until they're, you know, pretty well used. But if it's still got a good bit of life, I tend to just give it to somebody. I'll give it to one of my grandchildren. I'll give it to a friend in need. I'll give it to a homeless guy that I know and so forth. It's I don't tend to trade them in and try to get more money out of it, because more money is not the objective of life. You know, more money does not bring you satisfaction and joy.
Yeah, there's a website also. It's www.carshelpingpeople.org. And that really, I mean, you think about that actual URL address, and that's exactly it. Cars Helping People. That is embedded in my head as to what our program does as well.
Yeah. And so let me go on further, because your organization does so many wonderful things, and you addressed a lot of them. But, you know, many people think that homeless people are all a bunch of people with mental health conditions or abuse, substance abuse issues and so forth. And yes, that is true. That is a portion of them. But there's an amazing amount of people who are homeless that just are down on their luck.
Yeah, no, that's a very accurate statement. I mean, not just down on their luck, but they may be experiencing domestic violence, and they need to move into a homeless shelter and then get into some sort of supportive housing with if they have kids, and they bring their kids along. But that's what Volunteers America and other providers like us do. They take situations like that are very ugly and turn them into really to help people where they need to get to meet them where they are. I mean, that's what I always say in public, is we meet people where they are. And so that's one example. And you might have somebody that just decided that they can't afford their apartment, their Marker 8 house, and they just down on luck, and they just move into a homeless shelter because they have no other way to deal with it. They don't have anybody that can take them in. They can't couch surf. So that's another example. Even what's even incredible to me still this day is the amount in these very affluent counties around Baltimore, Baltimore County, Howard County, the amount of students, high school students, that are homeless. It's astounding how many kids are homeless. They're sleeping on people's couches.
Yeah,
because they have domestic violence or they have some other issue they're dealing with within their household, and they want to live someplace else.
Well, you know, here's an interesting thing is that I remember, you know, before I really came to become a real strong Christian, I used to think, you know, these people, you know, they're begging for this and that, and they just made bad choices in life. It's their own problem. Get a job, go on and work or something like that. And then one day I read the scriptures, and I'll never forget it, Russell. I read the story about Lazarus at the gate. And Lazarus is asking the rich man for something. Just help me. I'm, you know. And it never, ever says whether Lazarus was a drug addict or an alcoholic or mental health issues. It doesn't say what his reason was for being homeless. It just said that he got bad things in his life, and the Lord took him to the bosom of Abraham, and he took the rich man and looked down on that guy and said, I don't care about you. You made bad choices in your life, and I've made good choices in my life. And off he went without considering the needs for Lazarus at all. And I'll tell you, man, to this day, if somebody begs for money, I'll still be very cognitive as to what's going on in my head, as to what's this person all about. But many times I feel that, this could be Lazarus at the gate, and I ain't taking the chance the Lord's going to say to me, Drew, you ignored Lazarus.
Yeah, no, that's absolutely right. And, you know, it's really meeting people where they are, and if they're financially distraught, then, you know, if we have the means to help them, so be it. And, you know, we as a nonprofit, many nonprofits, many of my colleagues that are around, you know, the Maryland area, you know, even within our service region, Virginia, D.C., North South Carolina, we're all struggling to provide better service support for the individuals we support. There's just not enough, you know, money to actually go that direction. So, you know, it's really about finding that lane where we're making this impact, and we can find, you know, donors to see the impact we're having, that we're actually, if you looked at a business case, we're actually saving the local community's dollars by some of the services we're providing. And you can look at the social determinants of health, and you can say, okay, well, they're taking them out of poverty, they're getting them housed, they're getting them into these different areas where they're being successful. And that's going to be less strain on the dollars that are in each jurisdiction. So that doesn't come just with government dollars supporting our programs. That comes from private donations and dollars as well.
Well, we've got to take another pause with traffic, and we're going to be right back with the last part of our show. But I want to, you know, again, help talk more about what Volunteers of America does and how people can help when we come back, Russell. But right now, you got to hold on with us. We're going to traffic. We'll be right back. Money, riches, and wealth.
Hi, this is Drew Tignanelli of the Financial Consulate, saying a financial advisor must have a tax planning passion. I'm appealing only to those with a net worth of more than $5 million or with taxable income of over $400,000. You are the target for higher and higher taxes. If you're in this elite club, you can no longer afford to have a financial advisor that is not passionate to minimize taxes. I'm appealing to you with income over $400,000 or a net worth greater than $5 million because you are the target and need the Financial Consulate's passion to minimize income taxes and estate taxes. Call to set up your introductory meeting, 410-823-7283 or 410-823-SAVE, or online, financialconsulate.com. If your taxable income is $400,000 or more, or your net worth is over $5 million, you are the target. So call to begin your tax plan, 410-823-7283, or online, financialconsulate.com.
Now back to more of Money, Riches, and Wealth on Talk Radio 680 WCBS.
Okay, Chris, you've intrigued me. What the heck is that song? Come on, Chris, come on on.
It is by Foreigner, and it's called I Don't Want to Live Without You.
Neither do I, Chris. All right, anyway, Money, Riches, and Wealth. We're here with Russell Snyder, the president and CEO of Volunteers of America Chesapeake. And I just want to, you know, I just feel compelled that I want to teach an important principle for everybody out there listening. You know, many of you, you know, listening to this show are very successful financially. And, you know, the typical thought process of somebody who's successful financially thinks, my hard work and my intelligence and making wise decisions along the way is what made me successful. And I want to say you're absolutely correct, okay? And you're absolutely wrong at the exact same time. And you say, that's impossible, Drew. You can't be absolutely correct and absolutely wrong at the exact same time, but you can be. And as a matter of fact, all wisdom is exactly correct and exactly wrong all at the exact same time. And the answer is that if you really think that it's solely because of your hard work and your wise decisions and your responsibility and so forth, you're absolutely correct and you're absolutely wrong, because you have to think of all those coincidences that happened in your life that you had no control of that brought you to the point to make that decision and to work hard and make it successful for you. For example, myself, I'm an Italian, I'm a child of four Italian immigrant parents that came, grandparents that came here in 1900, 1899, 1905, 1907, 1913, and somehow or another, they all four came together and all of a sudden, each two came together. They came to America with nothing. They had all kinds of weird coincidences that happened. And, you know, my parents came about, and then my parents came about, and I came about. And, you know, the coincidences that happened in my life, and I think of one where I easily could have died and drowned in Loch Raven Reservoir if it wasn't for the fact that the one friend with me was a Ocean City lifeguard who knew I was in trouble, jumped in the water, and brought me back to safety. I mean, you know, these coincidences in life are just as important to make us successful. And we have to keep this in mind, and it humbles us to bring us to a place that when we are successful, we'll also be greatly generous. And Russell, I think that's the message of Thanksgiving.
Yes, it totally is. And it's around gratefulness. I tell our children, which are adults now, and our grandchildren, that, you know, it's when we say the Thanksgiving prayer, it's about really, 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 really thinking about those that are less fortunate, that don't have a roof over your head, over their head, the homeless, those that are in poverty, that don't have food, those that are suffering from some sort of disease, and, you know, those that don't have any family, they're outcast. And those are the people that Volunteers America and other nonprofits serve. And it's a real life thing. It's every day. And
yep.
They're out there all around us in our neighborhoods. They're out there in the cities. They're out there in the rural areas. And that's something that I tell my kids over and over again, that we got to be thankful for what we have, and we have to give back.
Yep, absolutely. And tell me, how can everybody who's listening right now participate with Volunteers of America, either just give money or actually do something physically with their time?
Yeah, it's both and you know, if you've so compelled to be understand our mission, get involved in the impact we're making with the lives that we're serving. We're transforming lives every day. It's learning about us, getting to know us, and, you know, trusting us. And then, you know, serving in volunteer roles, you know, whether you want to provide some time around your expertise and financial literacy as an advisor to that. It could be, you know, helping get winter coats in through the drive that we have every year. Our Operation Backpack, is essentially an annual program to raise money to pay for complete backpacks for the underprivileged children who are unable to have their own backpack when they go to school. Can you imagine not having it, not your own school supplies and backpack because their family doesn't have enough money to afford it? Last year, we collected and distributed over 2,500 backpacks from Baltimore and all the way down to North Carolina. So those are ways to kind of, you know, give your time and effort and some dollars. But we have opportunities to join in our Giving Hope Society, which is basically a commitment to pledge dollars. What I usually try and tell people is that Volunteers America wants to be one of your top three nonprofit giving areas. It might be a church, it might be a synagogue, it might be a mosque, but, you know, it might be a nonprofit. But we want Volunteers America, we want you to feel good that the work we're doing is making an impact, and we want to be in the top three of your giving areas. So, and then the final one is we you know, have a planned giving program that you can get in touch with us, and we can talk with you about, you know, planning some sort of bequest that could be part of your will. So those are areas that we've done and we work with. So anyway, those are the areas to be engaged with us, volunteering as well as giving to us.
Yeah, and you know, again, back to the concept of your church without walls, it's a great message to people who go into those four walls on a Sunday and think they're being religious and doing religious things. Get outside of those walls. Go to those walls on Sunday. You definitely need to, but make sure you get outside those walls and bring that message to people just with your hands. And it's like, I think it was, who was it? Augustine said, when preaching the gospel, best not to use words. That's a paraphrase of what they said, but do you remember the exact paraphrase?
No, I don't remember the exact paraphrase, but it's really about the sense of, you think about the words church without walls, it's having an awareness that God is around us wherever we are, and we can be disciples of God in any situation, but it's having that awareness that there needs to be no boundaries to help other people and love other people and forgive other people.
Sure. And your website is voachesapeake.org. voachesapeake.org is the way that you can go on there. You can donate. You can learn more. You can get in touch with Russell, and he'll help you, and he'll take you out, and you can visit some of the people. Like I find that to be one of the greatest experiences I ever did was those 3 years on the Gospel Rescue Mission Board of Directors. So
yeah. And we would love to connect. I would love to connect with anybody of your listeners that would like to learn more about Volunteers America Chesapeake and Carolinas.
Russell, when I have a great guest, the show flies by. And we're already at the end of the show, unfortunately. I want to thank you for your time and for your service, my friend.
Thank you, Drew. I really appreciate it. And I wish you and your family a very happy Thanksgiving. And everybody that's listening, just enjoy the time together. You know, love, hug, and just, just take it in.
Yep.
Because it's wonderful times.
This is Drew Tignanelli saying God bless. Thank you, Chris. Have a great Thanksgiving, my friend.